Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 67 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
It's devastating. It's another blow. I mean, how much more can we take?
Bobby Dye says the facility he has relied on for years shouldn't be going away. Kentucky's employment and training offices in Ashland and Maysville are being eliminated in an attempt to lessen the state budget deficit.
A drug trafficker convicted of causing a death in central Kentucky will be incarcerated for life.
And Rowan County is getting state money for environmental cleanup efforts.
In sports, the Eagles take the Bruins to the hardwood tonight at home.
Bud Luke will bring us the stock report.
A 60% chance of rain tonight with lows near 35 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A drug trafficker is sentenced to life in prison for causing an overdose death in central Kentucky. Paul Miles reports.
Federal prosecutors say Navarius Westbury was the leader of a drug trafficking ring in Richmond that sold heroin and fentanyl, which caused multiple overdoses and deaths. Westbury admitted that he supplied fentanyl that led to the overdose death of 25-year-old Corey Brewer. It's the first time in the Eastern District of Kentucky that a life sentence was imposed as a result of a fentanyl overdose. I'm Paul Miles.
It will require a full-scale effort for the area to finally put a stop to its seemingly never-ending war on drugs, so says Rowan County Chief Deputy Joe Klein. Klein advocates for a three-pronged attack when it comes to combating the current out-of-control sale and use of heroin and other illicit narcotics.
It was kind of the DARE approach, plus it was the UNITE approach, and I think UNITE has it right, and I think we need to continue that approach with it is enforcement, education, and treatment.
Klein says ending the area's drug problem is not just a law enforcement issue or a political issue. It's everyone's issue. He says knowledge is a big key in the process, and public forums should be held regularly to make people more aware of what's going on and how they can help. Klein heads the Rowan Sheriff's Department's long-running anti-drug operation, Operation Rowan Roundup.
It appears as if the Ashland and Maysville offices of employment and training will be closed as a result of a reorganization plan by the Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Cabinet. The state's more than 50 career centers are being consolidated into 12 hubs and 8 satellite offices. Bobby Dye of Ashland is among the 600 AK Steel employees who lost his job more than a year ago when the company idled its local blast furnace. He's been using the Carter Avenue facility ever since. Dye tells WSAZ the loss is just another blow.
I guess I'm as good of a story as you can get as far as how devastating this plant shutting down to this area has been. I've lost everything. Seems like the state's turned their back on everybody over here on this side of the state.
The state says the consolidation is necessary to wipe out a budget deficit of more than $4.5 million. The Workforce and Development Cabinet says many of its services are available online or over the phone.
The mayor of Ashland is touting his city as an ideal place for light manufacturing. Steve Gilmore says with rail, water, and interstate access available to companies, it has great potential as a hub for regional distributors.
Let me tell you, a lot of successful communities, large and small, you'll see manufacturing going on in the top of stores. And we have all kinds of unused space in downtown Ashland that you could do a lot of things with. I was real close at one point getting when I was the mayor, medical supply related places. They'd send 20, 30 employees in, and they supply all the hospitals we have in a 50-100 mile radius of Ashland.
Gilmore says there's no reason why Ashland can't attract those kinds of operations. He says the quality of the local school system and access to higher education are additional inducements to locate in the Boyd County community.
Kentucky is one of 10 states that will be receiving grants to expand workforce development and career education programs for students. The $2 million award is from J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and the Council of Chief State School Officers. The so-called New Skills for Youth initiative is intended to produce more highly skilled graduates from advanced manufacturing programs. Education and Workforce Development Secretary Hal Heiner says that's just what Kentucky needs.
It used to be an economic development. Where can I get some free flat land and a free building and we'll come? Not anymore. It's about workforce. You know, with this technology revolution, it's just exploding, changing the nature of work. That in order to make it into the middle class today, it's going to take, you're going to be able to leverage automation and technology in your job for middle class and above jobs.
Heiner says a better trained workforce isn't just important for attracting new employers to Kentucky. He says existing manufacturers will not expand if they can't fill skilled positions.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins is thankful his county will get a share of the over $1 million being handed out to 25 counties statewide by the Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet. Those counties will use the money for the cleanup of illegal dumps in their areas. Blevins says Rowan County is getting between $2,000 and $3,000 for that purpose.
Well, it's always nice to have money. You never have enough, you don't think, because I mean, it doesn't take long for one of those things to actually turn into a big eyesore and also a big cost in cleaning them up.
At this point, Blevins says Rowan County doesn't have a major issue with illegal dumps. He notes the Rowan Road Department is charged with cleaning up those sites. Blevins says, should you come across an illegal dump, to contact his office at 784-5151.
With the new Ironton-Russell Bridge open for traffic, the Ohio Transportation Cabinet is wasting no time demolishing the 95-year-old former span. Kathleen Fuller is the spokesman for the Ohio Department of Transportation.
Right now we're in Phase 1 demolition, which the bridge is coming down in stages. The main span of the bridge, which is over the navigational channel, the larger span of the bridge, will be lowered to a barge. Right now the contractors are in the process of preparing it to be lowered. In other words, they have to make certain cuts to separate that main span from the piers and from the cantilevered arms of the bridge itself, of the whole structure. They're in the process of preparing it to be lowered.
Fuller says the first phase of the demolition should be finished in the next 2 weeks. The project's budget comes as part of an $89 million spent to construct the new bridge.
Bracken County has experienced a rash of tractor-trailer accidents that have caused damage to roads and bridges. A bridge on Kentucky 8 in Foster received some damage, causing road closures until repairs are made, and Judge Executive Earl Bush says an inordinate number of other roads and bridges have taken damage as well. Bush says that although signs are posted telling truck drivers to steer clear, they go largely ignored.
We put signs up on the roads, and larger and larger signs on the county roads that we need to keep tractor-trailer trucks off of. But they're ignored them. And even the drivers will say, we know that there was a sign that said we couldn't get across this road, but the GPS said this is the route, so we're taking it.
Drivers have been issued citations and truck companies have cut checks for the necessary repairs, but at this time, Bush doesn't see any possible preventative measures.
Halfway through the 2017 fiscal year, Moorhead appears to be in good financial shape. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the books for the city's five departments all received a clean bill of health recently during an annual audit by the Ashland accounting firm of Kelly Galloway Smith Goolsbee PSC. Trent reports all of them are currently operating under budget, which has helped Moorhead keep a solid reserve fund.
And we always try to keep a minimum of $1 million. That if you have some sort of a major infrastructure problem or anything that would cause you to have to get it fixed now and not go through a bidding, not necessarily a bidding process, but I have to go through and finance it if you've got something that's emergency.
The city unexpectedly had to spend around $100,000 last year to repair a section of North Wilson Avenue. Fortunately, it got about $200,000 from the state to help complete that project.
It started with a few Ashland residents complaining about high grass and weeds on vacant land. Several months later, City Commissioner Amanda Clark says it morphed into a citizens group known as Build Ashland.
We had a group of people complain that there were lots all over Ashland that needed to be cut. There was high grass and those sorts of things. And, you know, the commission explained to them that there's a whole process for high grass and weeds and things that we have to go through that bureaucratically have to take place in order to make those things happen. And this group of people just said, you know what, you keep your red tape. We're going to go make sure that it happens.
Clark says Build Ashland is now tackling cleanup and beautification projects all over the city. She says it has a Facebook page with 2,500 followers.
Someone has to be held responsible for leaking information about Russian intelligence on President-elect Donald Trump. That's according to Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. The Republican tells Fox News that whether the information is real or not, whoever is behind the leak should face criminal charges.
Really, this is so important that I think whoever leaked it should be prosecuted. Someone should go to jail.
Paul was responding to reports that U.S. intelligence officials told Trump that Russia had possible damaging information about him. Paul said if public officials can't trust going to the FBI with private information, it leaves them more open to being blackmailed.
Kentuckians point to obesity as the top health concern for children, according to a new report from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. Suzanne Duvall reports.
According to the CDC, obesity increased among high school students in Kentucky to 18.5% in 2015, up 2% from 2011, one of the worst rates in the nation. Amanda Goldman is with Kentucky One Health and Catholic Health Initiatives.
We need to make healthier foods become more marketable and kind of make them more attractive to people.
When it comes to those health problems as an adult, 40% of those surveyed listed cancer as the top concern for women, especially breast cancer. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Lexington Congressman Andy Barr says one of the failures of the Affordable Care Act is that it did not address frivolous malpractice suits against doctors and other health care professionals. The Republican contends that's one of the reasons health insurance rates have soared in Kentucky and elsewhere. Barr has crafted a bill he calls the Saving Lives, Saving Costs Act. He claims it'll reduce medical expenses in two ways.
Number one, it raises the standard of care. We're helping people access better, higher quality medicine in this country with this legislation, and we're cutting out frivolous lawsuits, this litigation lottery that's driving up the cost of health care for all Americans.
Barr says the bill would better protect medical practitioners who submit to higher peer-reviewed professional standards. He says it would make it more difficult for lawsuits against such individuals and organizations from making it to trial.
And taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, cooler with a 90% chance of rain showers, lows near 35 degrees. Friday, much cooler and mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain showers, highs around 40. Friday night, cloudy with a 40% chance of rain showers, lows around 35 degrees. For Saturday, cloudy with a 50% chance of rain showers, highs in the mid-40s. It is currently 69 degrees in Ashland, 65 degrees in Flemingsburg, 67 degrees in Inez, it's 66 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 67 degrees.
The time is 4:43. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett, here with Samantha Morrill. We're glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Morehead State University professor Rick Carrick. He's peering into the future, and he says it doesn't look good.
Did you ever get a feeling that everything is going to get worse? When, for example, you are managing a chronic health problem, like my own allergies, but you have an ominous sense that other health, family, and work problems will be piling on soon. That's what I think about our region. Things are bad now, but look like they're likely to get a lot worse, and soon. Morehead State University is in Kentucky's 5th Congressional District, and this congressional district is already the second poorest in the country. This part of central Appalachia has low incomes, low levels of education, high levels of unemployment, and high levels of drug abuse. Several counties in this area are among the poorest in the country, with Owsley County at the bottom of the income rankings, Clay County viewed as the, quote, most miserable, and a stream of stories about drug abuse and mine closures in Lee and Martin counties. Certainly, the coal economy will continue to decline. President-elect Trump promised to bring back coal jobs to Appalachia, but the fact remains that coal from Wyoming is cheaper than Appalachian coal, and fracked natural gas is cheaper than coal from anywhere. Even worse, the Trump administration is setting up to be an oil man's government, with Exxon Chief Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State, former Texas Governor Rick Perry as Secretary of Energy, and Scott Pruitt of Oklahoma leading the EPA. And it's not just the incomes that will be lost. Struggling coal companies are also bailing out on their pension plans, leaving thousands of retired miners in bad health, their families without retirement income, and local stores and restaurants with even less in consumer spending. That brings us to health care. Obamacare not only covered more people, it also brought a lot of money into the Eastern Kentucky region and helped pay for doctors, nurses, rad techs, pharmacies, and hospitals. Obamacare also financed treatment for a large number of drug addicts. However, Obama repeal turns out, it will mean that much of that money is going to stop coming in. GOP legislators are targeting tax hikes for the wealthy, fees for those who don't buy insurance, and other ways in which the Obama administration paid for increased coverage. As a result, the end of Obamacare will not only further undermine the health of a region where both men's and women's lifespans are already declining, it will have an effect similar to the decline of the coal industry. The elimination of more middle-class jobs and employment opportunities at a time when the regional economy is already in decline. Another area of decline is education. Morehead State University has seen state financial support declined almost every year since the beginning of the 2008 recession, and the prospect is for continued decline. The same is the case for public schools in eastern Kentucky, and that's especially the case because conservative Republicans like Governor Matt Bevin and the incoming Trump administration are skeptical of public education. Education is not the panacea that some advocates make it out to be, but high rates of high school dropouts and extremely low rates of college graduation make adjusting to economic adversity even more difficult than it would be otherwise. As an MSU professor, most of my work is with first-year and sophomore students, and I can already see the disastrous impact of regional economic decline in student health problems. Over the last couple of years, I've seen first-year students with severe autoimmune disorders, cancer, crippling migraines, depression, and other chronic illnesses. Many, if not most of my students, are heroic in their efforts to succeed at MSU. But I'm very worried that the declining coal economy, healthcare sector, and educational apparatus are going to multiply their problems. Likewise, I believe that all of us at Morehead State University and everybody in responsible positions throughout the region need to give thought to what we're going to do when the current situation, disastrous as it is, gets worse.
Dr. Rick Carrick is a professor of international and interdisciplinary studies at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. You're still listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned. Coming up at 5, the latest in national and international news heads your way from NPR on All Things Considered. We've been keeping an eye on your sports world as well. That's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The chance to make a statement. Good afternoon, Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chuck Mraz reporting. It's a big one tonight at home for the Morehead State men's basketball team as it meets perennial OVC power Belmont at 7 o'clock. Interim coach Preston Spradlin says there's one major key for the Eagles if they want to have a shot at beating the always fundamentally sound Bruins.
How disciplined must you be in order to beat a Belmont team? Because if you don't play with great discipline, you're not going to beat them. That's the key to winning that game, and I'll say it. Our guys got to get their minds right for that. I must have great discipline if I'm going to beat a good team like Belmont.
Led by 2016 OVC Player of the Year Evan Brads, Belmont is 9-4 this season, 3-0 in conference. Winners of four of their last six, the Eagles are a game behind the Bruins in the OVC East at 2-1. A tough one last night for the Morehead State women's basketball team, which saw its nine-game winning streak end with a 69-66 OVC loss at Tennessee State. Down 68-58 with 40 seconds left to play, the Eagles nearly came all the way back to tie the game, but Brianna McQueen's floater in the lane rimmed out. While Coach Greg Todd says the Morehead women played good enough defensively to win, They didn't get the job done at the other end of the floor.
They finished really hard. I thought they competed, and to get the win, give them a lot of credit. We'll have to play much better Tuesday against a better North Florida team, but I think we'll be ready, and we'll have a little fuller roster on Tuesday, and we'll look forward to that.
The MSU women shot just 33% from the field last night while also committing 19 turnovers. Now at 14-4 overall and 4-1 in the OVC, the Eagles host Belmont Saturday at 5:30. Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino is breathing a sigh of relief after his 14th-ranked Cardinals survived Pittsburgh last night at home. After building a 21-point halftime lead, U of L held on to beat the Panthers 85-80. Pitino says his team got lax with its fundamentals in the second half, and he vows that's something the Cards will fix.
We don't have a whole lot of time with Duke coming in here and the type of schedule we play, but we'll keep working at it. I'm very, very lucky. The fact that they may be good athletes, but they just want to learn, they want to get better, and they want to give a lot of hustle to our basketball team. But we got to work on the fundamentals to improve.
Quentin Snyder's 22 points led Louisville last night. The Cards will host number 7 Duke Saturday. Winners of 9 of its last 10 games, the Rowan County boys basketball team has a key matchup tonight. Coach Sean Thacker's Vikings travel to Sandy Hook to face the 10-1 Lions of Elliott County.
That'd be a great test for us. You know, they're back-to-back region champs, so they're one of the top teams in a region again this year with two of the top players in a region again this year. So, you know, it's going to be a big challenge for us.
Rowan 6-9 Lady Vikings are also on the road tonight. They visit 7-5 West Carter. Pro football has been in San Diego for a long time, but that could be a thing of the past by the end of the day. The Chargers reportedly are set to announce a move to Los Angeles. ESPN.com said Wednesday that the Chargers plan to announce as early as today that they're moving north. According to the report, the Chargers have notified team owners and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell of their intent to relocate for the 2017 season. A year removed from a Super Bowl victory, the NFL's Denver Broncos have moved quickly to fill their coaching vacancy. Here's Bruce Morton.
The new man is Vance Joseph, who comes to Denver from the Miami Dolphins, where he served as defensive coordinator. With 18 years of college and pro coaching experience, Joseph, who says he is stepping into a, quote, dream job, takes the place of Gary Kubiak, who resigned earlier this month due to health reasons. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Elsewhere, the Buffalo Bills have named Sean McDermott as their new head coach. He spent the last 6 seasons as the Carolina Panthers' defensive coordinator. Less than a month away from the start of spring training, the Cincinnati Reds are still mulling over some roster changes. MLB.com Reds beat reporter Mark Sheldon says the team could still add some further help for its pitching staff while also looking to beef up its bench.
I wouldn't be shocked if they beat the bushes a little bit to find some low-cost hitters that could help on the bench, maybe an outfielder.
The Reds pitchers and catchers begin reporting to the team's spring training facility in Goodyear, Arizona, February 13th. After winning his first Sprint Cup title, NASCAR driver Carl Edwards Jr. says while he's not retiring, he is walking away from the final year of his contract with Joe Gibbs Racing. Edwards says he made the decision because he's content with his career accomplishments, wants to spend more time with his family and other interests, along with maintaining his health. Tennis's Australian Open will start Monday, and Andy Murray and Angelique Kerber have been installed as the top seeds. And finally, if someone really wants an autograph or to take a selfie with Johnny Manziel, the former Heisman Trophy winner, now has a menu of what it will cost. Manziel, who was a bust in the NFL, will be in Houston ahead of the Super Bowl to give fans a chance to meet him for a price. A selfie will cost $50, and for those wishing for a more professional photo, they will need to hand over $99. He'll provide his autograph for $99 as well, and for another $29, he'll include a four-word inscription. That's a look at sports. Have yourselves a good evening. For MSPR, I'm Chuck Mraz reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host Belmont tonight at 7 p.m. and Tennessee State at 7:45 on Saturday. Women's basketball plays Belmont at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday as well. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting the Steep Canyon Rangers in concert with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. The featured touring band for Steve Martin and Grammy Award winners for Best Bluegrass Album, the Steep Canyon Rangers blend high-energy bluegrass music with Americana mountain music. Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and information online, Facebook, or 606-889-9125.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The three major U.S. indices closed lower as investors waited for fourth quarter corporate earnings, as well as details of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump's economic policy 8 days ahead of his inauguration. And the Dow Industrials did drop 63.28, finishing at 19,891. The S&P 500 dropped 4.88 to finish at 2270.44. And the NASDAQ Composite dropped 16.16, and that was a drop of about 0.3% on the NASDAQ to 5547.49. The S&P had fallen as much as 0.9% earlier in the session, and its financial index actually finished off 0.75% as yields on long-dated bonds fell, and that did cause some profit-taking among the bank stocks. The S&P's healthcare sector ended up just slightly today after tumbling 1% in the previous day's session because of Trump's comments, and the index was helped by a very good performance today from Merck and Eli Lilly after a U.S. appeals court said it could block Teva Pharmaceuticals from selling a generic equivalent of Eli Lilly's top-selling lung cancer drug. J.P. Morgan was one of the biggest drags on the S&P 500 the day before its earnings report was out, or is due to come out, as it lost nearly 1%, and declining issues outnumbered advancing ones on the New York Stock Exchange by about a 1.5-to-1 ratio, and on the NASDAQ it was closer to 2-to-1, favoring decliners over advancers. Among Dow stocks today, your best performers were McDonald's and Merck, and your worst performers were Disney and J.P. Morgan. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Tiffany and AmerisourceBergen, and your worst performers were Cincinnati Financial and Hess. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 8 cents at $110.99, CSX up 34 cents at $38.38, AK Steel down $1.15 at $9.88, Marathon Petroleum down 41 cents at $49.25, AEP up 12 cents at $63.30, and U.S. Bank Corp was down 37 cents to finish at $51.42. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Bud, thank you so much.
And taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, cooler with a 90% chance of rain showers, lows near 35 degrees. For Friday, much cooler and mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain showers, highs around 42 degrees. Friday night, cloudy with a 40% chance of rain showers, lows around 35. Saturday, cloudy with a 50% chance of rain showers, highs in the mid-40s. Saturday night, cloudy with a 60% chance of rain showers, lows around 38 degrees. And Sunday, cloudy with a 40% chance of rain showers, highs around 45 degrees. It is currently 67 degrees in Moorhead.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Ellen Barnett, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles and Suzanne Duvall. And with our feature, MSU Professor Rick Carrick. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.